Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crimes. Greetings, everyone. I'm Ruth Fairfax Frazier, founder and executive director of FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations. And we are so pleased with today's program of Building Community, Strengthening Nations that we have Darius Frazier, our historian, joining us today. Welcome, Darius.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And we have a very esteemed guest, Bernardo Lo Wong. Welcome, Bernie.
Thank you so much, Ruth. It's been a pleasure having been here before, and I'm so excited that you're asking me to come back.
Well, everyone, Bernardo Lo Wong is better known as Bernie and is the founder and immediate past president of the Chinese American Service League, CASL. She has, as she stated, been here many times on Chris Radio, and we're always pleased to have her come in as a guest. Under Bernie's leadership, CASL has grown from a one-person shop in 1979 with an annual budget of $30,000 to $13 million. She spearheaded the initiative to build a $6.7 million senior housing facility, as well as CASL's new adjacent facility of 9.2 million, the Cam L MIU. How do you pronounce that?
Leo
Building, a community service center that combined all of CASL's disparate sites. Prior to founding CASL, Bernie served as director of social services for a community center, including a Head Start daycare program and a predominantly African-American community.
Born and raised in Hong Kong, Bernie's early life experiences set the stage for her mission-driven approach to serving others with dignity and respect. At 18, Bernie left Hong Kong alone for Sioux City, Iowa, where she earned a BA in sociology from Briarcliff College. This was followed by a master's degree in social work from Washington University in St. Louis. Bernie truly understood what poor new immigrants face when confronted by a completely different culture and language, which gave her the courage to gather a few friends and begin the difficult task of building the Chinese American Service League, or CASL, from the ground up in 1979.
Bernie has chaired the Chicago Mayor's Advisory Council on Asian Affairs and was the first Asian appointed to the boards of United Way of Chicago and the Chicago Public Library. She also served on the Governor's Asian Advisory Council, the Leadership of Greater Chicago Board, and the Chicago Commission Human Relations, CCHR. Currently, Bernie serves on committees including the National Asian Pacific Center on Aging, NAPCA, Board, the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, ICIRR, Board, and Council for the Illinois Department on Aging, IDOA. Bernie is also founding member of the Chinese Immigrant Service Agencies Network International, CISANI, and serves as an advisor on the Obama Foundation Inclusion Council.
Her awards include the 2016 and 2015 Distinguished Alumni Award from Briarcliff College in Iowa and Washington University in St. Louis, respectively. In June 2013, she received the Jane Addams Making History Award for Distinction in Social Service, given by the Chicago History Museum. Then in July of 2013, Bernie was honored by the Chicago Tribune as a remarkable woman, and by today's Chicago Woman as one of 100 Women of Influence. In 2012, Bernie received the prestigious Champion of Change Award from President Obama. The Association of Fundraising Professionals, AFP, Outstanding Community Leader Award for the Chicago Chapter, and the YWCA Outstanding Leaders Racial Justice Award. In 2010, Harris Bank presented Bernie with the Edward J. Williams Community Leadership Award. Among other awards, Bernie also received the Rainbow Push Coalition Community Organizer Trailblazer Award in 2004, as well as the Distinguished Community Leader Award from Mayor Richard Daley in 1990.
Bernie continues to be active today in the Chinese and Greater Chicago community through her work at CASL and on her many boards and committees. She is a frequent speaker on social service, nonprofits, and the Asian American community. Bernie is currently leading CASL in its 38th year of operation and has just retired as of January 1st, 2017. Again, Bernie, we are so happy that you're just in our presence today. You're such an influential person, and we love you so very much.
Thank you so much, Ruth.
Well, Bernie, you know, I want you to tell us a little bit about how it was coming here to this country and getting involved at such a young age and being independent. What was that all about?
Well, it had to be traced back to my early childhood. I was born to a very staunch Catholic mother. So we were all, I have five brothers and one sister, and I'm the youngest of the seven. We were all baptized when we were born and raised in the Catholic faith. My mother is really a social worker of her kind in the 1940s when I was born or before that in Hong Kong. Our house is almost like a social service agency. People will come asking for counseling. People come asking for help, financial help. Health advice, people who need to go to good schools, ask her, you know, for her help in getting into school. So she was doing all kinds of things just as an ordinary citizen. Mm-hmm. And so I Grew up watching all that, and as well in school, where I belong to a number of different clubs, and those clubs are also gave me a lot of opportunities to see how to help the people in need, the poor in Hong Kong. So all that kind of prepared me for my career as social worker. I never thought about being anything else but a social worker.
Mm-hmm. She was a wonderful role model for
you. She was, yeah. She was just amazingly taught by example. I learned a lot of things from my mom and dad, but particularly my mother. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an example, I mean, when we were growing up, she would entice me to eat things that I don't want to eat, and she would say, okay, now for every 5 pieces of this bit of melon that you eat, I'll give you a candy. And so for everything else, she does the same thing. And then she put a jar at the table and say, okay, don't eat it now, you know, let's see how the jar grows. And so I keep eating and the jar growing with different candies. And by the end of the week, she'll say, well, let's go to the hospital and take the jar along. And we'll, you know, there are kids there that you can share. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I would take the jar and would share with the kids. And she would, it's not anybody particular she knows at the hospital. She just goes there and help clean up people that she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So I saw what she was doing, but then I also found out it was really a good feeling to share.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's, and we didn't have very much growing up. You know, my mom and dad used to be very wealthy. Their parents were wealthy, and both of them ended up after they got married. After the war came, you know, we became poor. And so we really didn't have a whole lot to share, but we did share a lot. I, you know, looking back, I don't know how we did that, but that was how my mother taught us to do.
Right. Well, she sounds like an extraordinary woman, you know, and she brought you up to be a true humanitarian.
Yeah. She really did. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, did any of your siblings also follow in her footsteps?
Well, my sister, I have only one sister, everybody in her community, she got married earlier, but she passed away last year. But everybody at her funeral tells me how wonderful and sharing she was. I mean, mm-hmm. if somebody is sick, that she's the first to be there with the food and the caring. Mm-hmm. So it's not like... working in a formal social service agency, but she was sharing her own way.
Yeah. Well, I understand you love the concept of family. And tell me, how has that informed CASEL?
Well, CASEL is interesting. As I was leaving, different people was talking to me. Everybody is saying why they like working at CASEL. It's because CASEL is like a family. Mm-hmm. And everybody who works there, I feel like they're part of the family, and this is the kind of a setting that I have set up from the beginning. And fortunately, after 38 years, you know, everybody who comes along, you know, caught it and follow, you know, that mm-hmm. That culture, and people feel very. Very comfortable mm-hmm. Working. They work very hard, but at the same time, they feel that people can trust each other and people are sharing, whether it's information or whether there's food. We share food a lot around the CASEL.
Yeah. Well, I had the pleasure, everyone, of taking a tour of CASEL, probably the very first year that you came on Building Community Strengthening Nations. And that might have been when you were doing both shows here on Chris Radio, as well as the nonprofit program that we have with the Chicago Access Network, CAN TV.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And that was the sense that I got. When I walked into CASEL, it was like walking into your home. Everyone was just so outgoing. going, so warm, and of course, like you said, sharing of the food that really made you feel like you were at home, you know.
I'm glad I remembered that visit. I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah. What made you choose Chicago? When did you first see there was a need for social services for the Chinese immigrant Chinese American community?
Well, I came to Chicago because of my husband. When I was in Sioux City doing my undergrad, my mother say the only place you can go is to visit your sister during the summer because, you know, she's very a protective mother. And so my sister lives in Canada in a small city in Victoria in Vancouver Island. So I spent my first three summers there, and I wanted a little something different by the 4th year. So my one of my five brothers actually came to Chicago to work in the summer. So I asked my mother, could I, you know, stay with him, and which I did. And that's the time when I went to the Catholic Church here in Chinatown, and somebody there recommended me to my then boyfriend, my husband. Mm-hmm. They were both doing graduate studies at University of Chicago.
Okay. Well, we are so glad that you chose the greater Chicagoland area to set up Castle because it benefits so many people here and has given us an opportunity to really meet you and learn more about you. So thank you for choosing Chicago. And thank you, husband.
I love Chicago. Chicago is my home. I spend probably more years in Chicago than I have anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get a chance to go back to China?
Yes, I actually have been going back to China quite often. My husband, he's now retired for 3 years, but before that he spent a few years in Shanghai working. So I used to go back to China quite often, and I still have one brother in Hong Kong that I visit quite often, and I'm going to be visiting him soon.
Okay.
What will you miss most about Castle?
I must say the people, my staff, many of them I've hired 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. They're still working there. They're very loyal, dedicated staff. And the clients, you know, when I walk around Castle, everybody say, oh, you know, we're going to miss you. And I'm missing them already, you know, now, all the way from the little kids to our seniors. And of course, you know, many of my volunteers, you know, who have worked very closely with me for many years. Many of the clients that I see now, when they used to be little children, now they're grown up, and I see them in the streets, you know, and many of them come back as staff and some come back as volunteers. I would really miss the people at Castle.
Well, take a moment and give us an overview of the type of services that you offer at Castle.
Well, we are a comprehensive social service agency, so we offer services all the way from little babies to elderly. Some of them, you know, have been over 100 years old. We provide a very crucial and critical services, from child care to after school program to youth programming to employment to vocational training, housing counseling. Employment is very important. We help people find jobs. We also do a large part of our program for elderly seniors. Mm-hmm. So we offer in-home service for our elderly. That program alone, we service 800 seniors in their homes.
Oh, wow.
All the way from downtown to University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we are able to offer jobs. Many of the in-home service workers who do not speak English, but we're able to offer them jobs because of that program to about 300 plus individuals who work part-time for us in that program.
Mm-hmm.
So we also do a lot of advocacy work. We do help with partner with other organizations. There's a organization called CBCAC, Coalition for Better Chinese American Community, that we helped create, and we're part of that. We helped do a lot of voters registration, you know, getting people to know about the different candidates and getting people out to vote, going to Springfield, you know, to alert the legislators about needs that we have. So we just do a little bit of everything. We have a free legal clinic, so people want to come and volunteer. Once a month, we have free legal clinic. Whether they're lawyers, they don't have to speak Chinese. We have volunteers who do translation. We have 560 staff altogether, you know, about 300 plus part-time and the rest full-time. But we also have probably a good 200 plus volunteers. Many of them are corporate volunteers, and many of them are individuals who come and volunteer fairly regularly. So altogether, we have a very strong manpower, you know.
Yes, indeed. And you help so many people. About how many would you say you service in an annual year?
Annually, we service about 12,000, mm-hmm. you know, people a year. You know. Mm-hmm. And these are unduplicated accounts, so that some of them may come in for two or three different services, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is the Chinese population in the greater Chicagoland area compared to other parts of the country in the U.S.?
Well, the census might be somewhat a little different. We generally talk about within the broader Chicagoland area, we're talking about maybe, you know, 60,000. I'm not sure the exact number for the census, but and of course, you know, census always under count anyway.
Right.
Okay. How did being a woman at the forefront of this visionary pursuit to start a social service agency during the 70s and 80s shape your work ethic? Were there challenges along the way?
Well, I have to say it was quite difficult. Mm-hmm. It was very exciting, but it was difficult because generally, you know, that at that time, you know, is this very much of a male-dominant society to start with. Mm-hmm. But added on to that is, you know, in Chinatown is very, very much of a male-dominant community. So all the leadership at the time were all male and older male. And so we came in at 30s, you know, in our 30s, small and people assumed that you wouldn't speak up, you know. you just have to be very confident in yourself and believe in yourself that, you know, whatever you're trying to do, you know, it's just something, you know, that you, it's good for the community and that you will succeed. Mm-hmm. We've had many times, I've had people ask me and say, when we were getting ready to find an exec director, you know, where people ask me, well, who's the gentleman, one of the gentlemen in your the board at that time, will they be the exec director? They don't say, you know, would you be, you know, are you one of the prospect? And so I think that they didn't expect, you know, myself to be. But the group that I'm in, I'm one of the 10 that founded the organization. There was really no doubt in their mind that because I took a lot of leadership role in putting the whole group together. And so I actually left my position at the Ishikawa Heights Community Center at that time, mm-hmm. you know, to take on this position with not knowing where this future will take us, because all we had was $30-some thousand
oh, wow.
as an organization. Mm-hmm. But it's so a leap of faith, you know, at that time. But, you know, interesting enough, the outside community beyond Chinese community, was curious, and I think that more people out there was giving us a chance, you know, mm-hmm. because it's a novel idea, mm-hmm. And people know that there's no social service in the Chinatown or Chinese community, and some people have tried to provide services like Social Security. They say they try to get in the community and they couldn't really get their foot in the door, mm-hmm. and so outside people seem to think, oh, this is a good idea to to do something new. And we just have to work harder, mm-hmm. and come up with more creative ideas. Very persistent. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that people say about me is, that I'm persistent, and I say, well, you have to be,
right.
especially if you, try to do start off things new. And mm-hmm. And the community itself was not ready for a social service agency either. So we had also to fight the community, mm-hmm. And convince them that that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're definitely a Renaissance woman. And we only have a couple minutes left. Darius, did you have any other questions for our guests?
Yeah, what is your greatest achievement, your shining moment?
Wow, it's really difficult because there's so many things that that happened at Castle. I feel like has been really as good. I feel really good that many people have said to me, you have been my mentor, and this last few months, last couple of months, particularly, I've got a lot of cards and people telling me that that I have really touched their life and I've been a mentor to them. That makes me really feel good that I've made a dent in so many people's life. And when I see our little clients that used to be our little clients and now the successful lawyers and doctors and good mother, I feel really, really good. And I think the community as a whole is much, much stronger now than 1979 when we first started. Mm-hmm. And we have had a great, the whole economy of the community has improved. And you can actually see it visually. So I think that Castle had played a role in making the whole community stronger. And I think Castle has played a major role. And I feel we have, myself and everybody who's involved at Castle, have a good foundation, have made a good foundation for Castle to move ahead to even better things in the future.
Well, Building Community, Strengthening Nations here on Chris Radio really, truly enjoy our relationship with Castle and the wonderful outreach you do for the greater community, least of all internally within the Chinese community. Can you give us the address and contact information for those who want to find out more?
Sure. It's 2141 South Tan Court. It's spelled T-A-N and Court, C-O-U-R-T. Chicago, the address is 60616. And the phone number is 312-791-0418.
Okay. And the website is?
The website is CASLservice.org.
And we want to let everyone know that we are proud to say that the address is also a tribute to today's guest. So what is the honorary address?
The street name.
Yes.
It says Bernie Wong Way.
Congratulations, Bernie.
Congratulations.
And we want everyone to please go to the website, find out more about the wonderful services that are offered at Castle. And we want to thank you so very much for your many, many years of dedication to the Chinese community in the greater Chicagoland area as well.
Thank you, Ruth. My pleasure.
And thank you, Darius, for co-hosting today.
It's been my pleasure.
Okay. Chicagoland, peace and blessings. And again, Happy New Year. Bye now.